بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our session number 17. Session number 17, reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 1. Dr. Fa Abdurrahim, Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute. Today, inshallah, we're going to be doing, we're going to be continuing with lesson number 10. And we're going to do a quick review of some of the earlier lessons, the grammatical points from lessons 1 through 5. Also, a quick review of the grammatical points for this particular lesson number 10 and the Arabic text. And then we're going to try to do the exercises that follow. Hopefully, we'll be able to complete exercises 1 through 5. That's our hope, inshallah. So, let's get started immediately. We're going to start, as I said, with a quick review of some of the points in lessons 1 through 5. Yani the English key and vocabulary for those lessons are from page 1 through 14, from page 1 through page 14 of the English key for Medina Book 1. Now, let me just say here that, alhamdulillah, we are nearing the end of the first half of the book. Yani after lesson 10, lesson 11 is a review lesson. So lesson 11 is basically not going to introduce anything new for the most part, but primarily it's going to be like a review of everything we have taken in the first 10 lessons. And let me just say that in the first 10 lessons, there are a number of points, grammatical points that we've covered, but there are approximately about 10 main points. Okay, so what we are doing in the beginning of each session is like a quick review of some of the earlier lessons, just so that we can refresh our memories of what we have taken, and also to give you an opportunity to see if there's something that we covered previously that you didn't quite understand, or you didn't understand very well, and you need to review it. So, this quick review is intended to give you a chance to take another look at some of the things that we've covered in the past. So today, inshallah, as part of our homework this week, we had the review of the English key, the grammatical points and vocabulary for the first 5 lessons. And what I'm going to try to do is just summarize, a very, very brief summary, quick review of some of the points that we covered in these first 5 lessons. Like I said, in the first 10 lessons, there are about 10 major points of grammar that we covered, and I'm going to quickly like review for you so that you can know where to go back to see what we have covered previously. In the first 10 lessons, we've taken first and foremost the Asma al-Ishara, the demonstrative pronouns. In lesson 1 and 2, we had the demonstrative pronouns for things which are near and masculine. Hadha and ذَلِكَ. هَذَا means this or this is for things near, and ذَلِكَ means that or that is for things which are far, masculine. We also had in lessons 6 and 7 the أَسْمَى الْإِشَارَ for things which are feminine, near and far. So in lesson 6 we had هَذِهِ for things which are feminine and near, هَذِهِ meaning this or this is, and we had in lesson 7 تِلْكَ meaning that or that is for things which are far, feminine. Okay, so we had the Asma al-Ishara in lessons 1 and 2 and 6 and 7. 1 and 2 masculine and 6 and 7 feminine for things which are near and far. Hadha and Thalika for masculine things, and Hadihi and Tilka for feminine things. So this is something that we should know by now. We had this. We covered these Asma al-Ishara up until lesson 7, and we're on lesson 10 now, so this is something we should already know. The second thing we had in lesson 1, question words that are used for asking questions. We had men, as in men hadha, who is this, for used for people, and we had ma as in ma hadha, what is this, used for things, and we also had hamzatul istifham, the hamza written on alif with a fatha that changes a statement into a question. So if somebody said hadha kitabun, this is a book, you can change it into a question, meaning is this a book, by just putting hamzatul istifham in the beginning of that statement. It changes it into a question. Ahadha kitabun, is this a book? Okay, so we had this in lesson 1. In lesson 3, we had the definite article, alif lam, and we distinguished it there. the definite article from the indefinite article. Alif Lam from Tanween. And we also had in lesson 3, the sun letters and the moon letters, Al-Huruf, Al-Shamsiyah, and Al-Huruf Al-Qamariyah, and the special rule related to sun letters, that when a word begins with a sun letter, if you add Alif Lam to it, you don't pronounce the Lam. You don't say Al-Shams, you say Ash-Shams. You double the sun letter and you merge the Lam into it, like this. Okay, in lesson 4, we had prepositions and pronouns, personal pronouns. In lesson 10, we are doing possessive pronouns. So we are looking at the corresponding possessive and personal pronouns. So in lesson 4, we had huwa and hiya and anta and ana. And now in lesson 10, we're having the possessive pronouns that correspond to them. Yani the possessive pronoun for huwa is hu, for hiya is ha, for ana is yani ya al-mutakallam e, and for anta is ka. Is ka. So we are also responsible for these pronouns, four pronouns, huwa, hiya, ana, and anta, and the possessive pronouns that correspond to them, which we're taking now in lesson 10. We also had the prepositions in lesson 4, four prepositions, fi, wa ala, wa min, wa ila, and since then we also had kaf, and li, and bi, other prepositions, I mean. And the rule concerning prepositions is that the noun following it, the object of the preposition, becomes majrur. It becomes majrur, yani in the genitive case, taking kesra as its primary sign. In lesson 5, we had the idhafa construction. The main point we had in lesson 5 was the idhafa construction, which is composed of two words, the mudhaf and the mudhaf ilayhi, and the rules related to them, yani that the mudhaf never takes alif lam or tanween, and the mudhaf ilayhi, the second part, takes one of them, either alif lam or tanween. The mudhaf can take any i'rab. It can be marfoon or mansoob or majroor, depending on its position in the sentence. The mudhaf ilayhi is always majroor. Okay, as I said, in lesson 6 and 7, we had the asma' al-ishara, yani for feminine things which are near, hadihi and tilka. And we also had, yani the ta marbuta being the sign of femininity, that when we want to make a noun or an adjective feminine, yani we just add ta marbuta preceded by fatta. So azizun, yani if we want to make it feminine, we say azizatun, and kabirun becomes kabiratun, and so on like this. In lesson 8 and 9, we had the bedel, the ism ishara that has a bedel. Yani when you have an ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam, as opposed to ism ishara followed by a noun with tanween. Yani if we said hadha kitabun with tanween, it means this is a book. But if we change that tanween to alif lam, then this becomes a bedel construction, an idhafa construction. So hadha al-kitabu doesn't mean this is the book, it means this book. So we had that also, and we had in lesson 9 rules related to the adjective, yani the na'at and the man'ut, and we said that in Arabic, unlike English, the adjective follows the noun it's qualifying, and it also follows it or agrees with it in four matters, and we took three of them in that lesson. It agrees with it in being definite or indefinite, it agrees with it in being masculine or feminine, and it agrees with it in being in its i'rab, or being marfu or mansub or majrur. In lesson 10, we had primarily yani focused on the possessive pronouns, the pronouns that show possession, like when you say yani kitabi, my book, or kitabuhu, his book, kitabuha, her book, or yani kitabuka, your book, masculine, singular. Okay, so this is a quick yani summary, a quick review of what we covered in the first 10 lessons, okay? So we had review of the first 5 lessons for homework today, and again, in the first lesson we had ma and men and hamzat al-istifham, and we had the ism ishara, hadha, for things which are near and masculine. In lesson 2 we had thalika, and we also had waw al-atif. In lesson 3 we had the definite article alif lam, al, and the sun letters and moon letters. In lesson 4 we had yani prepositions and pronouns, and we also mentioned, yani it was also mentioned in lesson 4 that most feminine nouns end with ta marbuta, but there are some feminine nouns like bintun, for example, that's definitely feminine, means a daughter, but it doesn't end with ta marbuta. So this is also a point that we should note, that even though most feminine nouns end with Dharmabhuta. There are some feminine nouns that don't end with Dharmabhuta, and we also came to know that there are some masculine proper nouns that end with Dharmabhuta, even though they are not feminine. They are the names of men. Okay. In these lessons, we also had just a passing mention of some past tense verbs, like ذهب and so on. In lesson 5, we had the idal for construction. This is a very, very important lesson. And in that lesson, we also had the ظرف تحت. And after that, later on, we had the ظرف أمام and خلف, in front of and behind. And we had the vocative يا. And we said that the vocative يا, when you say, oh, so-and-so, if you were calling Bilalun and you said, ya Bilalu, the tanween is omitted and it is taking just a single dhamma, So please pay attention to these matters that we covered in the first 5 lessons, especially, and inshallah, next week we'll be looking at a quick review of the next 5 lessons, 6 through 10, including our lesson that we're going to be working on today, lesson 10. The point now is that I want to just please encourage every one of us to take our review, al-muraja'ah, very seriously. Take our review very seriously. Please try to review regularly. At least one day out of the week, review the previous lessons. As you go through a new lesson, try to review the previous lessons. Or even if you did it on a daily basis, taking a few minutes every day just to review one lesson at a time, lesson 1, then the next day lesson 2, next day lesson 3, you need to review the English key and the vocabulary and the dialogues also at the beginning of the lesson, which contain all the new points for that lesson. Okay, so that being said, what I want to do now is just a quick review of the English key for our present lesson, lesson number 10, which is on page 25, 26, and 27. So, this English key primarily deals with the possessive pronouns. If you wanted to say your book, speaking to an individual male, then instead of anta, the personal pronoun, we use ka. So we say kitabuka. Hada kitabuka. This is your book. If you were speaking about somebody and you wanted to say this is his book, you say, instead of huwa, the pronoun hu, kitabuhu. Hada kitabuhu. If it was a female that you were talking about, you would say hadha kitabuha, her book, ha being the possessive pronoun, showing possession of something, that it belongs to someone, as opposed to the personal pronoun hiya, for a female, she. Okay, and ya al mutakallam, the sound, the ya with sukoon preceded by kasra e, when you add that to a noun, it shows the possession by the first person, singular, ana, this is my book, kitabi. Qalami, my pen, bayti, my house, and so on. Okay, so this is one thing that we had in this lesson, the possessive pronouns. We have 4 of them, and in the future lessons, after we review lesson number 11 and 12, 13, 14, and 15, we're going to take the rest of the pronouns, possessive and personal pronouns, the plurals and whatever remains. We also had in this lesson the dharf, the adverb inda. We had in this lesson the adverb inda, and we said that it has another meaning, that inda doesn't only mean عند المدير, that somebody is with the مدير, but عند may also mean to have something. أعندك قلم, do you have a pen? So this is the second meaning of عند. And in this lesson we also distinguish between the first meaning of عند, meaning with someone, we distinguish it from مع, which is also a ظرف, an adverb, which means with. But مع is unrestricted, and عند is restricted, meaning you are with that person. عنده means that you're with him in the place that he's known for, whereas ma'a, you might be with him anywhere. We also had the preposition li, that when the preposition li is connected to the possessive pronouns, ka, hu, ha, and so on, then it loses its kasra and it becomes fatta. So you say laka, lahu, and laha, except when it's connected to the first person singular pronoun for representing first person ana, Ya al-mutakallam becomes, the kasra remains, because Ya al-mutakallam was always preceded by kasra. We also had in this lesson, conjugation of the past tense verb, dhahabtu and dhahabta, ana dhahabtu and anta dhahabta. And we had in this lesson also the i'rab of akh and ab, 2 of the 5 special nouns in Arabic language known as al-asma al-khamsa. And we said that these 5 nouns in the Arabic language, including these two words, akh and ab, brother and father, when they are connected in idafa to a possessive pronoun or to a clear noun, when they are connected in idafa, then the sign of its i'rab for marfu'un is not going to be dhamma, but it's going to be dhamma waw. It's going to be the waw, the elongation of the dhamma with waw. And if it was majrurun instead of kasra, it's going to be ya, yani kasra ya, and so on. Even if it was mansub instead of fatah, it would be fatah alif. And this is a special rule related to five nouns in the Arabic language. Akh and ab are two of them, whenever they are in idhafa. If they are not in idhafa, this rule is not applicable. But when they are in idhafa, then the sign of the i'rab is going to be a long vowel, waw, ya, or alif. And also we had in this lesson that masculine proper nouns that end with ta marbuta, like feminine proper nouns, are mamnu min sarf. In other words, masculine proper nouns normally take tanween. But if a masculine proper noun, name of a male, like hamzatu, and usamatu, and talhatu, and muawiyatu, if it ends with ta marbuta, in that case, yani it takes the same rule as feminine proper nouns, and therefore it becomes mamnu' min al-sarf, a diptote which doesn't take tanween, and if it's majroor, it takes kasra. If it's majroor, instead of the normal sign of being majroor kasra, it takes fatah. Okay, two things related to words that are mamnu' min al-sarf. We said what? That they don't take tanween like other nouns, and also, if they are majroor, instead of kasra, they take fatah as the sign that it is majroor. Okay, that's what we wanted to cover in terms of reviewing lesson number 10. And then, we want to start with the exercises today that we, left off last week. We're going to start with exercise number 1 on page 56, and then we'll go to the remaining exercises on page 57 and 58, trying to do as many of them as possible. They were for homework this week, and I think two of them were for homework the previous week also, but we didn't get to them last week. So today we're going to do exercises 1 and 2, and then we're going to do exercises 3, 4, and 5. Exercise number 1 I mentioned in the homework assignment has 22 questions. The first 12 of those questions are not comprehension questions. They're just general questions that you have to answer with an appropriate response, okay, in light of the question. The remaining questions, 13 to 22, actually are comprehension questions, meaning they are testing your comprehension of the text at the beginning of the lesson on page 54, 55, and the top of 56. So the final questions, 13 to 22, the answers have to come from the text at the beginning of the lesson. The first 12 questions, you just have to answer them with an appropriate answer that it corresponds to the question. That corresponds to the question. It's in reference to specifically the pronouns that are used, in these questions. Okay? Because we see in these questions, we have possessive pronouns and we have personal pronouns. So we want to make sure that we're using the pronouns correctly as we answer these questions, the first 12 questions. Okay, so what I'm going to do here, I'm just going to read through the dialogue at the beginning of the lesson. We read it last week. That was the last thing that we read from this lesson last week after we did the English key. We did the reading of and translation of the dialogue. I'm going to read it again. And the reason why I'm going to read it again is because, two reasons. One, I want to make sure that we're able to answer those questions. They came in the first exercise, questions 13 to 22. Those questions are based on this dialogue, so I'm going to refresh our memory. The second reason why I want to read it is because I want to have a oral listening exercise, okay? So I'm going to ask you, everybody, to not look at the book as I'm reading this dialogue. I want you to listen. If you really have difficulty and you can't follow without looking, then okay, it's no problem. It's not cheating. It's not cheating. You are allowed to look if you need to. But if you are able to just listen without looking, then we want to make this as a oral listening exercise, an oral listening exercise to train your ear to be able to comprehend what you hear without seeing it. And this is very important. Actually, there are audio files where the author of the book, Dr. Fahd Rahim, where he actually reads through the lessons with another person, so that if you actually were listening to those audio files, it would be a good exercise, and it would be this type of exercise, an audio yani listening exercise, where you can yani try to listen as much as possible without looking at the book to see if you can comprehend what you're listening to. The first time you listen to it, you might need to look at the book. The second time, you should try to do it without looking, or with as little as possible of looking. And if you listen to it several times, hopefully you should be able to listen without looking and comprehend any everything in the lesson. Okay, so I'm gonna read the dialogue in the Arabic section of the book on page 54, 55, and the top of 56. And what I'm asking is that as I read this dialogue between Hamid and Muhammad, that you any try not to look at the book unless you have to. If you have to, then there's no harm. Otherwise, if you think that you can do it, since you've read it several times already for homework last week and this week, and I've read it to the class and translated it previously last week, and you had the whole week to review it, and I asked you for homework to any go over it again, and it was in our homework for this past week to reread the Arabic text. So hopefully you did read it. And you yani are able to listen today, inshallah, without looking at the book. So what I want to focus on as we read, number one, I want to focus on the pronouns, the personal pronouns, the separate pronouns like anta and huwa and he and ana, and the possessive pronouns like ka and hu and ha and e, yani ya al-mutakallam. I want to focus on the pronouns. And also, we want to also pay attention to anything that we had in the previous lessons, as well as yani the important things in this lesson, like the Asma al-Khamsa, if we have akh or ab, and if they are joined in idafa to a possessive pronoun or even to a clear noun, how they have the special rule of adding yani the long vowel wow, or if they were supposed to say kasra, then it would be a ya. Maybe in this lesson we'll just see wow. Also, I want to make sure that we pay attention to the difference between the use of inda, to have something, and laka, yani indaka and laka, yani or indahu and lahu. The difference between these two usages of these words to mean to have something, to have something. Okay, just kind of keep in mind as we go through this that we had said previously that yani in the English key for this particular lesson, we mentioned that it is wrong to say indi akhun. Yani indi is used for things which are separable. While relations, relatives, like I have a brother, I have a sister, I have a mother, I have a father, we use the preposition li. Yani lahu akhun, wa laha akhun, and so on. We don't say indahu wa indaha akhun. Okay? Or famun, for example, part of the body. So inda is used for things which are separable. And the preposition li, yani lahu, laha, and so on, is used for things that are inseparable, for relatives, relations, and parts of the body, yani that are inseparable. Okay, let's read from page 54, at the top of the lesson. And again, if you don't have to look, try to, let's go through this lesson without looking as I yani read. I'm not going to translate, okay, because yani the purpose here is for you to listen and try to translate. Unless I see something that may need a comment, I may give you a chance to translate it on your own first, and then I might explain it. Otherwise, I'm just going to be trying to read as an oral listening exercise. Exercise number 10, Ad-Darsu Al-Ashiru. Hamid says, Man Anta? Muhammad answers. Notice that he's speaking to a male, an individual, right? So he says to him, Man anta. We'll learn later on that if he was speaking to a female, he would say, Man anti. We're going to take that soon, inshallah. Man anta. Muhammad says, Ana talibun bil jami'ati. Ana talibun bil jami'ati. Hamid says, another question, A anta talibun jadidun? Okay, this is a question with hamzatul istifham, right? A anta Talibun jadidun. Here we have not and man'ut, right? From lesson 9. Talibun jadidun. A anta talibun jadidun? Muhammad says, Naam. Ana talibun jadidun. Hamid says, Min aina anta? Min aina anta? This is a question. From where are you? Min aina anta? Aina means where Min ayna means from where. If I said ayna anta, that means where are you right now. If I said min ayna anta, that means where are you from. From where are you literally. Min ayna anta, Muhammad says, ana min al-hindi. Muhammad is from where? Min al-hindi. Hamid says, ma smuka. Ma ismuka. We join it together, we say, ma smuka. Anta, ma smuka. Muhammad says, ismi Muhammadun. Hamid says, wa man hadha al-fata. Al-fata means a what? A young man. A young man. وَمَنْ هَذَا الْفَتَى الَّذِي مَعَكَ مَعَكَ. And who is this? فَتَى الَّذِي مَعَكَ. مَعَكَ means like عِنْدَكَ, except that مَعَكَ is unrestricted. With you, يعني it can mean with you anywhere. مَعَكَ أَنْتَ. Muhammad says, هُوَ زَمِيلِي. يعني who is this فَتَى? هُوَ زَمِيلِي. يَا الْمُتَكَلَّمُ. زميلي, my زميل. Hamid says, أهو أيضا من الهندي. Muhammad says, لا, هو من الياباني. اليابان, he's not from الهند, he's from where? يابان. Hamid says, ما اسمه. Before he said ما اسمك, now he says ما اسمه, يعني هو. ما اسمه. Muhammad says, اسمه حمزة. Hamza too, with a single dhamma, without tanween. Because remember, the masculine proper nouns that end with tarmabuta do not take tanween. Masmuhu, ismuhu, hamza too. Hamid says, ma lugatuka. Yani luga means what? Luga. Lugatun means language. Ma lugatuka. Anta. Ma lugatuka ya Muhammadu. Notice after ya al-mutaka, after ya al-nida, Ya Nida, the vocative Ya, the name Muhammadun loses its tanween. It takes a single dhamma. Ma lugatuka ya Muhammadu. Turning to page 55, Muhammad says, lugati, yani my luga, lugati al-urdiyatu. Al-urdiyya, yani Urdu. Hamid says, ahiya lugatun sahalatun. Ahiya, yani here referring back to al-urdiya. Ahiya lugatun sahalatun. Here we have a not describing luga, and so it has to remember, it has to agree with. Lugatun is feminine, sahalatun is feminine. Lugatun is marfu'un with dhamma, sahalatun is marfu'un with dhamma. Lugatun is indefinite, so sahalatun is also indefinite with tanween. Ahiya lugatun sahalatun. Muhammad says, na'am. Here, lugatun sahalatun. Hamid says, wa hamzatu ma lugatuhu. Yani now he's asking about his zamil, right? Wa hamzatu ma lugatuhu. What is his luga? Muhammad says, lugatuhu al-yabaniya. And remember, his friend Hamza is from al-yaban. So lugatuhu is what? Al-yabaniyatu. Lugatuhu اليابانية وهي لغة صعبة. يعني he didn't say this is a لغة سهلة. He said what? لغة صعبة. Hamid says, أين أبوك يا محمد؟ أين أبوك؟ Here's the word أب. It's in إضافة, connected to a possessive pronoun. So instead of saying أبوك, we have to add a واو. Yani that's the sign of it being marfu'un, the wow instead of dhamma. Aina abuka ya Muhammadu, with a single vowel again after ya and nida, the vocative ya. Muhammad says, abi. Excuse me. Abi, this is ya al mutakallam, the ya with sukun that's preceded by kasra that indicates my. Abi fil Kuwaiti, al Kuwait, that's a country. Huwa, yani meaning his abu, huwa tabibun shahirun. Hamid says, wa aina ummuka? Aina ummuka? Muhammad says, hiya aydan fil Kuwaiti ma'a abi. Ma'a abi. Hiya mudarrisatun. Hiya meaning his hiya mudarrisatun. هناك. Remember, مدرس means a teacher. So if we want to make it feminine, we add تاء مربوطة preceded by فتة. مدرسة هي مدرسة هناك. There. As opposed to هنا, which means here. These are adverbs of place. هنا and هناك. Hamid says, أذهبت إلى الكويت يا محمد. أذهبت أنت إلى الكويت يا محمد. Muhammad says, نعم ذهبت. نعم ذهبت. يعني ذهبت is the first person singular form of the past tense verb. From ذهب, he went. ذهبت, she went. ذهبت, I went. أنا. Hamid says, وزميلك أين أبوه. وزميلك, يعني زميلك means his friend Hamza, who is from اليابان. وزميلك أين أبوه. Muhammad says, أبوه في اليابان. هو, يعني meaning أبوه, هو تاجر كبير. Again, this is a not and a منعوت. كبير is a not adjective describing تاجر, so it has to agree with it in being masculine and being indefinite with تنوين and being مرفوع with ضمة. أبوه في الياباني, هو تاجر كبير. Hamid says, ألك أخ يا محمد. ألك, notice he didn't say عندك. عندك, remember, is used for inseparable things, not for relations or parts of the body. ألك أخ يا محمد. Muhammad says, نعم لي, not عندي, but لي أخ واحد اسمه أسامة, with a single ضمة, no تنوين, because masculine proper nouns that end with ثمبوتة don't take تنوين. اسمه أسامة. وهو معي, معي أنا, معي, هو معي هنا في المدينة المنورة, أو مدينة, مدينة النبوية. ولي أخت, also, and لي أخت واحدة. Notice أخت doesn't end with ثمبوتة, but we know it's feminine because sister is surely, yani naturally feminine, right? So the adjective describing it also has to be feminine. So we take واحدٌ and make it feminine by adding تاء مربوطة. واحدةٌ. ولي أختٌ واحدةٌ اسمها, يعني has the possessive pronoun for هي, her. اسمها, her name is زينب. زينب is a feminine proper noun. It doesn't have تاء مربوطة, but all feminine proper nouns are ممنوع من الصرف. They don't take تنوين, even if they have تاء مربوطة, or even if they don't have تاء مربوطة. يعني he said what? ولي أخت واحدة اسمها زينب. وهي, يعني his sister, his أخت زينب, وهي في العراق مع زوجها. هي في العراق. العراق is a country. Iraq, right? مع زوجها. زوجها مهندس. زوجها, what is his occupation? مهندس. He is a مهندس, an engineer. End of the dialogue, top of page 56. Hamid says, أعندك سيارة يا أخي. Notice he didn't say ألك سيارة, okay? Because لك is used for relations and parts of the body that are inseparable. عندك is used for things which are separable, like cars and books and pens and houses. عندك سيارة يا أخي. محمد, لا, ما عندي سيارة. Again, ما, this ما is not the ما that we had in lesson one. That is ما الاستفهامية for asking a question. This is ما for negation. ما النافية. ما النافية. نفي means negation. ما عندي, meaning it's negating. عندي means I have. ما عندي, I do not have. لا, عندك سيارة يا أخي. محمد says, لا, no, ما عندي سيارة. عندي دراجة. دراجة. حمزة عنده سيارة. Okay, this is the end of this exercise, oral listening exercise. I hope and pray that يعني, we were able to يعني, follow it without looking at the book. If there was a need to look at the book, there's no harm. But it is important though that we begin to train our ear. It's important that we begin to train our ears to comprehend what we hear without seeing it. If you hear somebody speaking, you're not going to have a script in front of you to be able to read to understand what they're saying. So we need to be able to comprehend what we hear in the same way that we comprehend what we see, what we are looking at, when we have a book in front of us. Okay, so we have to train our ear. For that reason, I would suggest that everybody try to listen to the audio files of these lessons by Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim. If anybody doesn't have those audio files and would like to have access to them, please send me a message at our email address, mab93044@gmail.com. Send me a request, inshallah, and I'll send it to you. If you need any particular lesson, yani let me know the one you need. Inshallah, if you need this particular lesson, I'll send this one out. It's a little bit of a problem for me to send it out to everybody because there's some problem when sending out these audio files. I don't know why. So if somebody is in need of it, please let me know. Send me a request. I'll send you them lesson by lesson according to your need. As well, if somebody reminds me, I'll send you the link. Where actually, everybody can go and download it yourself. But yani, either way, yani, if you want me to send you the audio file for this particular lesson or the coming lesson, please let me know. Otherwise, somebody remind me and I'll send the link to the website where you can download these audio files, where the author of the book, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, may Allah protect and preserve him, reads the lessons so that you can train your ear to comprehend what you hear. Okay, we just got finished reading this dialogue between Hamid and Muhammad, and like I said, questions 13 to 22 are comprehension questions directly from the dialogue. So we're going to do 1 through 12 first, and then we're going to go to the comprehension questions that follow, which are based on the dialogue that we just got finished reading. Hopefully you remember what we just read. Okay, I would prefer to do the comprehension questions first. I don't know why they came in this order, but let's just stick to the order that the book came in, and we'll come back to the comprehension questions as we reach them at number 13. Exercise number 1, lesson 10, page 56. The exercise instruction says, Ajib anil as'ilati al-atiyati. Ajib anil as'ilati al-atiyati. Which means, and we should know by now the meaning of these we should know by now the meaning of these instructions very well, because we've been seeing them for a while now. Ajib is a fi'l amr, an imperative verb, command form. It means answer, reply. Answer concerning, an is a preposition. The word following it should be majrur with kasra. Ajib an al-as'ilati al-atiyati. Answer concerning the following as'ila. As'ila is the plural of su'al. Answer concerning the following questions. Again, these are not comprehension questions. So you'll answer, yani, with your own answer, as long as it's, yani, in accordance with the question asked. It has to be an appropriate question for the question asked. Okay, the question, masmuka. Or it could be masmuki for the sisters, right? Masmuka. Okay, so then the answer should be, you should say, my name is whatever, okay? So, the answer should be like, for example, male or female should be, ismi, my name is, yani, Ahmed. My name is Ahmadu, or my name is Mahmudun, or my name is Muhammadun, or my name is Zainabu, Khadijatu, Aishatu, and so on, like this. Masmuka, ismi, whatever. Going across, number 2. Min aina anta, min aina, from where are you? The answer should be, ana min, wherever you are from. Ana min al-Sudan, ana min al-Iraq, ana min al-Kuwait, ana min al-Yaban, ana min al-Hind, ana min Pakistan, ana min America, and so on. Number 3. Ma lugatuka. Ma lugatuka. For the sisters it would be ma lugatuki. Ma lugatuki. Yani the word lugatun, when you add a yani possessive pronoun to it, it loses its tanween. And the ta marbuta in luga, it ends with ta marbuta, becomes ta maftuha. Notice that the ta here is ta maftuha, the regular open ta, because ta marbuta can only be the final letter of a word. So whenever you add a suffix to a word that ends with ta marbuta, it has to be turned tu ta maftuha. And by the way, I put up a note here earlier today for book 1, lesson number 10, exercise number 5, page 58, because the word came there, sayara, and one of the participants in our class asked me, yani, how do you connect these words together? So I've shown you here that if you had sayara 2 plus ka, that you change the ta marbuta to ta maftuha, and then you just connect them directly. We'll see that when we come to exercise number 5, if we reach that today. In any case, here we have another example that I didn't notice earlier. This is a word that ends with ta marbuta also, and a possessive pronoun is connected to it, so it has to be changed to ta maftuha. Ma lugatuka. Ma lugatuka, meaning, what is your luga? Or ma lugatuki, what is your luga for a female? The answer should be, lugati, my luga, is al-inkiliziya, al-arabiya, al-urduwiya, and so on, whatever a person's language is. Number 4. Aina abuka, or aina abuki. Where is your ab? Where is your abu? Aina abuka? The answer should be abi, my father, fi is in, wherever he is, in al-Kuwait, al-Sudan, al-Saudiya, whatever, fi America, abi fi America. Aina abuka? Huwa fi America. Yani, you could say abi fi America, or you could use the pronoun. Yani, since we have taken the pronouns, it's good to use the pronouns when you're referring back to a noun that has been mentioned already. So probably it would be better to say huwa fi amrika, or wherever. Number 5. Aina ummuka, or for females, aina ummuki, where is your answer, ummi. Again, yani, where is she? Ummi fil bayti, ummi fil mustashfa, ummi fis souq, in the marketplace, or whatever, wherever. Number 6. Alaka akhun. Alaka, not a'indaka. Alaka akhun. Do you have a akh? Na'am. Li akhun. Yes, I have a brother. Or you could say, li akhun wahidun. And so on. Number 7. Alaka ukhtun. Or alaki. Speaking to a female. Alaki ukhtun? The answer, na'am li ukhtun wahidatun. Again, wahidun for the akh, wahidatun for ukht, because ukht is feminine. Number 8. A'indaka sayyaratun? A'indaki sayyaratun? A'indaka aw a'indaki sayyaratun? Do you have a car? Na'am. عندي سيارة. Or if you didn't, you can say what? لا. ما عندي. ما is negation, right? ما عندي سيارة. Number 9. عندك دراجة, with شد on the را. دراجة, and then the فتح is elongated. يعني after the فتح on the شد, the فتح is elongated by ألف. دراجة. عندك وعندك دراجة. The answer, لا ما عندي دراجة. Or you could say, نعم عندي دراجة. Number 10. عندك قلم. عندك قلم. Do you have a pen? نعم عندي قلم. Or you could say, لا ما عندي قلم. Notice that عنده is used for دراجة, and عنده is used for سيارة, and عنده is used for قلم. يعني we're going to say عنده used for دفتر, because these are things that are separable. Instead of لك, عندك دراجة, عندك قلم. Number 11. عندك دفتر. دفتر is not a كتاب. There's a difference, right? كتاب is a book, like a textbook, and دفتر is a notebook that you write your notes in. Or as some people say, copy book. You copy your notes in. عندك دفتر؟ لا ما عندي دفتر. Or نعم عندي دفتر. Number 12. أبوك تاجر؟ This is a question. Hamzat al-Istifham, right? Abuka tajirun means your father is a tajir, but now we made it into a question. A abuka tajirun, is your father a merchant? Naam, abi tajirun. Or you could say la huwa tabibun, or la huwa muhandisun, or la huwa imamun, or whatever. Naam. Okay, now we go to 13, which begins the comprehension questions. These answers here are not just answers that we make up that have to be appropriate, but now these answers have to be from the text that we read on pages 54, 55, and the top of this page 56. Okay, so hopefully we remember the answers, or rather better than that, we should have already written them down for homework. Okay, question number 13. Min ayna Muhammadun? From where is Muhammad? Where is Muhammad from? Answer, al-jawab, huwa min al-hindi. Huwa min al-hindi. He is from India. Number 14. Ma lugatuhu? Ma lugatuhu? What is his luga? What is his language? Answer, al-jawab, lugatuhu al-urdiya. Al-urdiya. And his language is Urdu. Number 15. Aina abuhu? Aina abuhu? Yani, whose father? Muhammad's father. Aina abuhu? Where is his father? Abuhu fil Kuwaiti. His father is in Kuwait. Number 16. Aina ummuhu? Aina ummuhu? Where is his where is his mother? Al-jawab. Answer. Here. Aydan, she is also fil Kuwaiti, in Kuwait. Yani, ma abihi, with his father. Number 17. Yani, it's sufficient to say, here aydan fil Kuwait. But if you made a more complete answer, as it came in the text, here aydan fil Kuwaiti, ma abihi, with his father, then that is also good. Number 17. Min ayna hamzatu. Notice, this question is not ayna hamzatu, where is he? But min ayna, from where is hamzatu? Hamzatu without tanween, a single dhamma. Because what? It's mamnu min asarf. It's a diptote. Yani, it's a masculine proper noun that ends with tarmabuta. So it's like feminine proper nouns. It does not take tanween. Min ayna hamzatu? From where is hamza? Or where is hamza from? Yani, huwa min al-yabani. He is from al-yaban, from Japan. Number 18. Ma lugatuhu, yani referring back to Hamza. Ma lugatuhu, what is his luga? Al-jawab, answer, lugatuhu al-yabaniya. Lugatuhu al-yabaniya. His language is Japanese. Number 19. Aina abuhu, yani where's his ab, yani meaning Hamza's ab. Aina abuhu, where's his father? Abuhu Filyabani. Abuhu Filyabani. Remember, his father is where? In his country, in Japan. He is a big merchant there. Number 20. Aina Zainabu. Aina Zainabu. Remember, Zainab is a feminine, yani name, proper noun. So we're going to use the feminine pronoun here. Aina Zainabu. Hiya Fil-Iraqi. Hiya Fil-Iraqi. She is in Al-Iraq. Number 21. Aina Zawjuha. Aina zawjuha, yani her zawj. Where is her spouse, her husband? Huwa fil Iraqi. Remember, because remember we said, Zainab in the text, it said, hiya fil Iraqi ma zawjiha. She is in Iraq with her zawj. That means that her zawj is also in Iraq. She's there with him in Iraq. Aina zawjuha? Huwa, yani zawjuha, huwa fil Iraqi. Number 22, azawjuha mudarrisun. This is a question. Zawjuha mudarrisun? Zawjuha mudarrisun? Her zawj is a teacher. We want to ask the question. Is he a teacher? Azawjuha mudarrisun? La. Huwa muhandisun. La. Huwa muhandisun. Okay, that's the end of the first exercise, number one. And again, as we mentioned, questions 13 through 22 have to have been taken from the text, the dialogue that we read at the beginning of the lesson. Those were not just questions that you can make up answers to. but rather they should have been taken directly from the text that we read. Okay, let's go to page 57, exercise number 2. Page 57, exercise number 2, lesson 10. The instruction says, ضَعَ فِي الْفَرَاغِ فِي مَا يَلِي الضَّمِيرِ هُو or ha, yani who is the possessive pronoun for huwa, third person masculine singular, he. And ha is the possessive pronoun that corresponds to hiya, third person feminine singular, she. So who means his, and ha means hers. Dha'a, put, fil faragi, in the blank or empty space, fi ma yali, in what follows, ad-damira, put the pronoun who or the pronoun ha in the blank space in what follows. Okay, so how are we going to know is it who or ha? We have to look at what it refers back to. The pronoun has to agree with whatever it's referring back to. Okay, so the first sentence, number one, says hadha al-bintu طالبةٌ. هذا البنت طالبةٌ. Okay, here this is a يعني a بدل construction, because the اسم إشارة followed by a noun with ألف لام. Remember we said the first type of بدل that we have had so far is the بدل, and there are different types of بدل constructions. But the first one, the only one that we've had so far, is any اسم إشارة. هذا أو هذه, ذلك أو تلك, أو هؤلاء أو أولئك, that will take in the coming up lessons. Any اسم إشارة, demonstrative pronoun, that's followed by a noun with alif lam, that's a bedel construction. It means that what we are saying here, instead of saying hadha bintun, this is a bint, we are saying hadha al bint means this bint, this girl. Hadha al bintu means this girl. Hadha al baytu means this house. Okay, that's not a complete sentence. It's just a ism ishara with its bedel. Now we need يعني a khabar, a predicate to complete the sentence. So the predicate or the khabar is طالبةٌ. هذا البنت, this girl, is طالبةٌ, a female student. Now they gave us ismu and a blank and then زينبو. So ismu, we want to say هذا البنت, هذا البنت طالبةٌ, this girl is a student. Her name is زينب. We want to say her name. We don't want to say his name. We don't want to say your name. We don't want to say my name. We want to say, because referring back to هذا البنت. اسمها, third person, feminine singular, ها, here. اسمها زينب. Okay, how do we know it has to be ها? Because we just mentioned this girl is a female student. Her name is Zainab. It has to be, it can't be his name is Zainab, because we're referring back to this girl, right, who is a female student. So we can't say his name is Zainab. We can't say my name is Zainab. We can't say your name is Zainab. We have to say her name, because it's referring back to Hadal Bint, right? So the answer should be Ismuha Zainabu. Number two. Muhammadun Tabibun. This is our original statement. So the pronoun is going to be referring back to Muhammad, right? Third person, masculine, singular. His. Muhammadun طبيبٌ. Muhammad is a doctor. وَبَنُّ blank مُهَنْدِسٌ. Muhammad is a doctor. And his ibn is a مُهَنْدِس. His ibn. So what's the pronoun going to be here for his? Third person, masculine singular, corresponding to huwa. It's going to be hu. مُحَمَّدٌ طَبِيبٌ. وَبَنُّهُ, and his son is Muhandisun, an engineer. Okay, who? Why is it who? Because we're referring back to Muhammad. Muhammad is a male, so it has to be masculine. We're referring back to him, so it has to be third person. And he is an individual, so it has to be singular. That's who. Who is for? Third person, masculine, singular, corresponding to huwa. Who means his. His son. His son is a Muhandis. Number three. Hada ar-rajulu. This is again a bedel construction. This doesn't mean this is the man. This means this man. هذا الرجل تاجر كَبِيرٌ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ This man is a تَاجِرٌ كَبِيرٌ A big merchant. اسمه عبد الله. Okay? This man is a big merchant. We want to say his name is عبد الله. His name. Alright? So we're going to use third person masculine. Singular for هو. The possessive pronoun is هو. اسمه Abdullah. Why are we saying his name? Because it's referring back to هذا الرجل. So we can't say هذا الرجل, her name is. My name is. Your name is. هذا الرجل, his name is Abdullah. اسمه, the answer should be اسمه Abdullah. His name is Abdullah. Number four. Aminatu. Again, we're going to be referring back to Amina, right? So we know we're going to be saying her something. Aminatu في الغرفة وأم blank في المطبخ آمنة في الغرفة آمنة is in the غرفة in the room وأم and her mother is in the مطبخ her mother it has to be her because we're referring back to آمنة right آمنة is in the room and her mother is in the مطبخ so we're going to say وأمها أمها في المطبخ number five عائشة again We're referring back, we're going to be referring back, the pronoun is going to go back to, the possessive pronoun is going to refer back to Aisha. So it's going to be feminine, third person, singular. Yani her something. Aisha tu, tabibatun. Aisha is a female doctor. Wa ukhtu, and her ukht is a mumarribatun. And her ukht is a mumarribatun, is a female nurse. Okay, Aisha tu, tabibatun. Aisha is a female doctor. And her sister, referring back to Aisha, وَأُخْتُهَا مُمَرِّضَةٌ And her sister is a female nurse. Number six, the last one for this exercise, number two, خَرَجَ مُحَمَّدٌ مِنَ الْفَصْلِ وَخَرَجَ مَعَهُ زَمِيلُ blank. Okay, we're referring back to what? Muhammad. خرج محمد محمد went out من الفصل from the classroom وخرج معه and with him went out who زميل his زميل محمد went out of the classroom and his زميل went out with him وخرج معه زميله who his زميل because referring back to محمد so here we have a couple of things we have The possessive pronoun zamiluhu, third person masculine singular corresponding to huwa, zamiluhu, his zamil, kharaja ma'ahu, went out with him. We also have in this sentence, we have ma'ahu, yani with, as opposed to indahu, which also can be used to mean with, but with a person in a particular place, as opposed to ma'ahu, here is unrestricted. And we also have in this lesson, the verb kharaja. Okay, so we had a few past tense verbs like kharaja and dhahaba and jalasa and we'll be looking at yani the conjugation of the past tense verb also yani as we go through book 1 and we're going to study it in detail in book 2 so we have a couple of things in this lesson we have kharaja and we have ma'ahu and we have the possessive pronoun zamiluhu and one more thing we have in here this is a verbal sentence remember we said that in Arabic sentences are of two types What are they? The first, the nominal sentence. Yani, the sentence that begins with a noun. Jumla ismiya. It begins with a ism. The second is the verbal sentence. Jumla fi'liya. Yani, the sentence that begins with a fi'l, with a verb. It's a verbal sentence because it begins with a verb. So we see the sentence begins with kharaja. That's a verb. So normally, a verbal sentence is going to have two or three essential parts. At least two of them. The fi'l, the verb, the action word, and the fa'il, the one who's doing the action. And it may also have a maf'ul and be, but here there's no direct object of the verb. There's indirect object. So we won't go into that discussion now, but we'll say there's the fi'lun, the verb, the action word, and the fa'ilun, the doer of the action, the subject who's doing that action, Muhammadun. And we also mentioned in passing, we're going to study this in detail later on, that the fa'il, the doer of the action of the verb, is always marfu'un with dhamma. Okay, so this is just a note that we're going to study in detail later on. Kharaja Muhammadun. Wa kharaja ma'ahu zamiluhu. مرفوع والضمة زميل. Okay, this is the end of exercise number 2. Let's go on to exercise number 3. Exercise number 3 is going to be, يعني the instruction says, يعني 3 and 4 are related exercises, okay? So this exercise is going to deal with a couple of things. It's going to deal with the word عنده, يعني its meaning here not being with but having something, to have something. And it's also going to deal with يعني answering a question in the affirmative with na'am or in the negative with la, yes or no. Okay, so the first set of questions, all the answers are going to be yes. The second set of questions, all the answers are going to be no, in which case we're going to have to use ma and nafiya, the ma that's used for negation. Okay, so we're going to have in this exercise inda, and we're going to have ma and nafiya. We're going to have na'am and la. These are different things that are going to be used in this sentence. Remember, inda is used for things that are separable, like pens and books and cars and houses and beds and things like this, tables or desk and other things that are separable. Okay, la, li, or laka, lahu, laha are used for things that are inseparable. Okay, so the instruction says hati khamsata as'ilatin wa ajwibatin kalmithali al-ati. Okay, let's look at the meaning of the instruction. Hati means give or bring. It's a command form verb according to yani more the best opinion concerning this word. Hati means give. Khamsata, five. As'ilatin, questions. Five questions. Wa ajwibatin, and answers. As'ila is the plural of su'al. Ajwiba is the plural of jawab. Give five questions, five as'ila, and five answers. Ajwiba. Kal mithali. Ka is a preposition. That's why al mithali takes kasra here. Remember, ka is a preposition, like bi, and like fi, and min, and ila, and so on, and ila. These are all prepositions. Kal mithali. Give five questions and answers, like the mithal, the example. Al-ati, the following example, like the following example. They give us an example, and they want us to make five questions with five answers that have the same format as in the example here. What is the format? A'indaka qalamun. Do you have a pen? That's the format. We want to use a'indaka or a'indaki for the females, right? A'indaka, a'indaki. We want to ask, do you have a thing that's separable? We're going to ask the question with Hamzatul Istifham. We're going to use عنده because we're talking about things which are separable. And then we're going to say in this first set of questions and answers, we're going to say, yes, I have that thing, whatever it is. In the second set of questions, we're going to say, no, I do not have it. Okay, so we're going to use in the second set of questions, ma and nafiya, ma of negation. But before we get to that, let's do the ones, the affirmation. Question and answer. Five questions, five answers. Okay, in this particular exercise, you could have used any words that you wanted to use, but you have to use this format, a'indaka. That has to be the format. And then in the response, the format has to be na'am indi, yes I have. All the answers have to be yes I have it, okay? So, a'indaka qalamun, do you have a pen? Na'am indi qalamun, yes I have a pen. Notice that in the question we have the possessive pronoun for second person, masculine singular, ka, which means enter, right? Which corresponds to enter. A'indaka, and in the answer we have na'am indi. Do you have something? Yes, I have. We have to change the pronoun to I. Even if we said a'indaki qalaman, do you have, speaking to a female, the answer is still going to be na'am indi, because the first person pronoun, ya al-mutakallam, is used equally for masculine and feminine. It's no different pronoun for first person. For the first person pronoun, singular or plural. They're both masculine, used for masculine and feminine. Okay, so now I'm going to give five questions and five answers. Hopefully you all have your own questions and answers that follow this format. Has to be a'indaka. So I wrote, a'indaka kitabun. Do you have a book? Na'am, indi kitabun. Second one, a'indaka daftarun. Do you have a notebook? نعم عندي دفترٌ. Third one. عندك مكتب. Do you have a desk or a table? نعم عندي مكتب. The fourth one. عندك بيت. Do you have a bait, a house? نعم عندي بيت. And the last one. عندك سيارة. Do you have a car? نعم عندي سيارة. Okay, let's go to the next exercise, number 4. Same type of exercise, except instead of the answers all being in the affirmative with نعم, it's going to be in the negative with لا and then ما النافية, the ما of negation. Okay, the instruction is the same. هاتي خمسة أسئلة وأجوبة كالمثال الآتي. Give 5 questions and answers like the example, like the following example. Okay, the example they gave us, the same word قلم. أعندك قلم, but now the answers have to be in the negation. So you have to say instead of نعم, you have to say لا. And when you say لا, you have to use ما نافية to negate the statement. عندي قلم, you have to say ما عندي قلم. I do not have a pen. Okay, and we want you to use both لا and ما. Because in the same way in English, if somebody said, do you have a pen? You say, no, I don't have a pen. So you say, no, la, and then you say, I don't have. So you have to use ma, indi. Both la, stop, no. And then, ma, indi, I do not have qalamun, for example. Okay, I'm going to give 5 questions and answers. You should have already written your own. And again, the question for the female would be, instead of a'indaka, it's going to be a'indaki, a'indaki. But the answer is going to be the same, la, ma'indi. Because the first person, yani ya al-mutakallam, the pronoun, the possessive pronoun for first person singular, is used equally for masculine and feminine. Okay. A'indaka, or we'll use the feminine here, a'indaki qalamun. Okay, you're asking a female, a'indaki qalamun, and her answer will be, la, ma'indi qalamun. Okay, 5 questions and answers on this format. أعندك حقيبة. Do you have a حقيبة? لا, ما عندي حقيبة. Number 2. أعندك دراجة. Do you have a دراجة, bicycle? لا, ما عندي دراجة. Number 3. أعندك مكواتٌ. Do you have an iron to iron the clothes with? عندكِ مكواتٌ. لا, ما عندي مكواتٌ. Number 4. عندكِ ثلاجةٌ. Do you have a refrigerator? لا, ما عندي ثلاجةٌ. Number 5. عندكِ سكينٌ. سكينٌ. Do you have a knife? لا, ما عندي سكينٌ. No, I do not have a knife. I don't know if I translated ثلاجة. ثلاجة, we should know by now. We had that a long time ago. It means a refrigerator. All right, so these are examples of how يعني, this question can be answered in the affirmative with نعم عندي or with لا ما عندي. Okay, now we go to the bottom of page 57, and here they give us a little bit, somewhat of a chart, right? It says تأمل ما يلي. تأمل means reflect upon, contemplate, think over, consider carefully, look at, examine something, right? تأمل ما يلي. Contemplate, reflect upon what follows. The word بيتون is a clear noun. It's indefinite, so it has تنوين. If I wanted to attach to it a suffix, a possessive pronoun, to show that this house belongs to me, or to you, or to him, or to her, then the first thing that happens is we lose the tanween. Okay? Because, yani tanween is only at the end of a word. So once you add a suffix to the word, then you have to get rid of the tanween. You just now have the single vowel. Whether it's dhamma, kasra, or fatha. Here it's dhamma because that's the original ruling. Unless something, yani, acts upon it to change it, yani, to being majroor with kasra or mansoob with fatha. Alright, so the double dhamma tanween becomes a single dhamma tanween in order, yani, to add a suffix to that word. Because tanween has to be only on the last letter of a word. So, if I wanted to say my house, I'm going to add the first person possessive pronoun, yani, for singular, that is e, yani ya al mutakallim preceded by kasra. Yani ya al mutakallim with sukoon is the possessive pronoun for the first person singular, but it must be preceded by kasra. Okay? So, instead of here, baytu, I lose the dhamma because ya al mutakallim must always be preceded by kasra. So it became bayti. Yani, the reason why there's a kasra here is because of ya al mutakallim. Otherwise, baytun becomes baytu. But with ya al mutakallim, it must always be preceded by kasra. So it became bayti, my house. Your house, masculine second person. Yani, anta, I'm speaking to a male, individual male, directly. So baytun becomes baytuka, anta, baytuka, your house. If I'm speaking about a individual male, third person, masculine, singular, huwa, speaking about him, I would say his house, baytun becomes baytuhu, single vowel on bayt, baytuhu, his house. If I'm talking about an individual female, and I want to say her house, here, her house, so then I'm going to use the possessive pronoun ha. I'm going to, baytun becomes baytuha, baytuha. Alright, her house. Baytuha, her house. Baytuhu, his house. Baytuka, your house. We're going to see later on, if you were speaking to a female and we're saying your house, instead of baytuka, it's going to be baytuki. Yani anti, baytuki. Alright? My house, bayti. My pen, qalami. My book, kitabi. Like this, okay? My friend, zamili. My teacher, mudarrisi. My doctor, tabibi. Okay, that's what they wanted to show us, that a clear noun that has tanween, when you attach a suffix, a possessive pronoun, to it, it loses its tanween. The vowel becomes a single vowel, whether it's dhamma, kasra, or fatha, and then you add the suffix directly to it. That vowel has to be a kasra if you attach to it the first person singular possessive pronoun, ya al mutakallam, the ya with sukoon. Let's turn to page 58 and look at an exercise that deals with these possessive pronouns being attached to clear nouns. Okay, remember, we only had four possessive pronouns for the first person. We had second person masculine singular for anta ka. We had third person masculine singular for huwa hu. And third person feminine singular for hiya ha. Okay, the instruction at the top of 58, exercise number 5, says, Adif al-asma'a al-atiyata ila al-mutakallim ila al-mutakallimi wal مخاطبي والغائبي والغائبة كما هو موضح موضح في المثال. Okay, this instruction is a little bit different from what we've had before, so we're going to take a couple of moments to kind of look at some of the important words in this instruction. Adif is a fi'l amr command form, yani, from idafa, yani, related to idafa, connecting something, yani, in an idafa construction. Adif means to connect or join. Al-asma'a, the nouns. Asma'a is a plural of ism. Al-atiyata, the following. Join the following nouns in idafa. Ila, to. Four words here. Al-mutakallim means the first person singular. Mutakallim, the speaker, literally. Al-mukhatab, with fatha on the ta. Mutakallam has shadda on the lamb with kasra. Shadda on the lamb with kasra. Mutakalli. Mutakallim. Al-mukhatab has fatta on the ta. If you put kasra, it becomes a different word. Okay? It changes the meaning. Mukhatab means the one you are speaking to. Mukhatib means a speaker, the one who is speaking. So this is completely different meaning. So you have to make sure you put fatha on the ta in mukhatab. Means second person, masculine, singular. Yani the one you are speaking directly to, but masculine, okay, and singular. Al-ghaib means the one, literally absent. Okay, that means ghaib is used for the third person. Al-ghaiba means the third person as well, but feminine. So here we have third person, masculine, and third person, feminine. Okay, so mutakallam means the first person, the speaker. Mukhatab means the second person, masculine, singular. Ghaib means third person, masculine, singular. Ghaiba, third person, feminine, singular. Okay? First person, second person, third person, third person, yani masculine singular, and third person, feminine singular. So these are the four pronouns that we had for this lesson. Okay? Mutakallam is going to be ya al-mutakallam, mukhatab is going to be ka, ghaib is going to be masculine third person, singular, hu, and ghaiba is going to be third person, feminine, singular. Third person, feminine, singular. Yani ha. Okay, so the rest of the instruction after that says, adif al-asma al-atiya, connect the following nouns, ila al-mutakallam, to the first person, al-mukhatab, second person, masculine, singular, al-ghaib, third person, masculine, singular, wal-ghaiba, third person, feminine, singular, kama, connect these nouns to the first person, second person, and third person, masculine, singular, kama, just like, huwa, it is, muwaddahun, yani shadd on the dad with fatha, muwaddahun, just as it has been made clear from wadih, something that is clear, just as it has been made clear fil mithal, as it has been made clear in the example. Okay, in the example we have qalamun with tanween. Now we're going to add the possessive pronouns for the first person, second person, third person, masculine, and feminine singular. So qalamun becomes first person, hadha qalami, this is my pen. Hadha qalamuka, this is your pen, masculine, singular. Hadha qalamuhu, this is his pen. Hadha qalamuha, this is her pen. Okay, my pen, your pen, his pen, her pen. We're going to do the same thing for eight words. Remember, the sixth word is the one that I was bringing to your attention in the note that I posted earlier today, where when you have a word that ends with tarmabuta, yani if you add a suffix to it, you cannot remain, it cannot remain tarmabuta, it has to be changed to an open ta. Tarmabuta can only be the last letter of a word. Whenever you add anything to a word that ends with tarmabuta, you have to change it to ta maftuha, means the regular ta is in the beginning of the alphabet, alif ba ta, open ta. Marbuta means joined or closed, sometimes they call it the round ta, and maftuha means opened. Okay, so we're going to, the only one that you're going to have to pay attention to is the six words, sayyaratun, because you have to change the ta marbuta to ta maftuha. Otherwise, we're going to go straight across four columns. My something, your something, his something, and her something. Okay? Okay, let's read. The first word, kitabun. You should have had hadha. Kitabi, this is my book. Hadha qala, I mean hadha kitabuka, this is your book. Hadha kitabuhu, this is his book. Hadha kitabuha, this is her book. Second word, sarirun, meaning a bed. Okay, going across. Hadha sariri, this is my bed. Hadha sariruka, this is your bed. Hadha sariruhu, this is his bed. Hadha sariruha, this is her bed. Number three, ismun means a noun or a name. Ismun. Hadha ismi, this is my name. Hadha ismuka, this is your name. Hadha ismuhu, this is his name. Hadha ismuha, this is her name. Number four, mindilun, handkerchief. Mindilun, handkerchief going across. هذا من ديلي. This is my handkerchief. هذا من ديلك. This is your handkerchief. Speaking to an individual male. هذا من ديله. This is his handkerchief. Speaking about a male. Individual male. هذا من ديلها. This is her handkerchief. Number 5. ابنٌ. ابنٌ meaning a son. Going across. هذا ابني. This is my son. هذا ابنك. This is your son. Speaking to an individual male. هذا ابنه. This is his son. Pointing to somebody else. This is his son. Third person. هذا ابنها. This is her son. Speaking about her. Third person, female. هذا ابنها. This is her son. Number 6. سيارة. Notice that this word has a shadda on the ya. The fatta is elongated by aleph. Say. You have to hold the ya. It's a shadda. سيارة. سيارة. Means a car. هذا. Remember that the ta marbuta, when you write it, has to be changed to a regular open ta. Hatha, or I'm sorry, not hatha, this is feminine, right? This is feminine. Hathihi. This has to be hathihi. Feminine. Hathihi sayyarati. This is my car. Hathihi sayyaratuka. This is your car. Hathihi سيارته. This is his car. هذه سيارتها. This is her car. Number 7. مفتاح. مفتاح. With ح as in حامد, أحمد and محمد. الحمد لله. مفتاح means a key. هذا مفتاحي. This is my key. هذا مفتاحك. This is your key. هذا مفتاحه. This is his key. هذا مفتاحها. This is her key. The last one, number 8. يدن. يدن means a hand. Remember the rule concerning parts of the body that are impaired. Two hands, two feet, two eyes, two ears. What did we say? The parts of the body that end with, that are impaired, they are feminine. Alright? Remember, most feminine nouns have tarmabuta. But there are some words that are feminine that do not have tarmabuta. This particular class of words, we have a rule for them. Yani parts of the body that impairs are generally feminine. Okay? So even though there's no tarmabuta, yed, there are two, so we know that it is feminine. So, yedun, a hand. Hadihi, yedi. This is my hand. Hadihi, يدك. This is your hand. هذه يده. This is his hand. هذه يدها. This is her hand. Okay, so this is exercise dealing with the first person possessive pronoun, second person masculine singular possessive pronoun, third person masculine and feminine singular possessive pronouns, who and ha, e and ka. Alright, so by now, inshallah, we should know these well. Please study these possessive pronouns carefully. Make sure you understand their corresponding personal pronouns, huwa and hiya and ana and anta, that we had in lesson 4. In lesson 4, we had personal pronouns, these 4 personal pronouns. In this lesson, we have the same 4 corresponding possessive pronouns. Learn them well, because in the following lessons, after lesson 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15, we're going to be taking the remaining personal pronouns and possessive pronouns. So please learn them step by step, piece by piece, shay'an fa shay'an, as we go through the next few lessons. Okay, we're going to stop here. Remind you that for homework, inshallah, we're going to finish this lesson for homework this week. Exercise number 6 is dealing with the preposition li. And the rule concerning it is that li, instead of عنده, is used for people, yani for relations like ukht and akh and ab and and parts of the body that are inseparable. Okay, so the preposition li is going to be used for things that are inseparable. Also, the preposition li with kasra, it changes to fatha when you connect it to the possessive pronouns, yani ka and hu and ha, except for the first person singular, ya al-mutakallim. It remains with kasra because it's always preceded by kasra. Okay, also, on the next exercise on page 59, we have ma'a, which means with, like anda, but it's unrestricted. Unlike anda, it's unrestricted. And we can connect the possessive pronouns directly to them. You can say ma'ahu, ma'aha, ma'aka, ma'i. Or we can follow them with clear nouns, like ma'a al-mudarris, or ma'a al-muhandis, and so on. But keeping in mind that ma'a is a adverb, a dharf. And the noun that follows an adverb is always going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. Okay, it's not a preposition, but the word following it is majrur because words following the dharf adverb is going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. So we had previously adverbs like yani amama and khalfa and tahta, and now we have inda, and now we have ma'a. The words following them are going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. So please keep that in mind. Exercise number 8, we have the rule related to Asma al-Khamsa, the 5 special nouns in Arabic. 2 of them are Abun and Akhun. They are yani used like any other noun except when they are an idalfa. That's when this rule comes into place, when you are saying your father or his father or her father or my father, when they are connected to either a pronoun or a clear noun. In idalfa, then we're going to use yani elongation of its vowel. If it has a dhamma, it becomes waw. If it has a kasra, it becomes ya. If it has a fatha, it becomes alif. We're going to see that later on. But what is important here is that when these words are nidalfa, then yani instead of them having just a single dhamma at the end of the word, they're going to have dhamma waw, except with the first person singular ya al mutakallim. Okay, so we're going to have that exercise. That's exercise number 8. And then the final exercise is exercise number 9, dealing with the contrast between masculine proper nouns like Muhammadun and Khalidun and Hamidun, which are regular masculine proper nouns which take tanween, and those masculine proper nouns that end with Tarmabuti which do not take tanween, like Hamzatu and Talhatu and Usamatu. Okay, so we're going to have an exercise with those type of words, and we're going to have to know which ones take tanween and which ones do not. At the end of the lesson, we have the vocabulary box, Al-Kalimat Al-Jadida, with 8 or 9 words that we should have memorized before now. I mean, we should have already memorized them. Please make sure, if you didn't memorize any of them, finish them before you come to class next week, inshallah. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to say. For homework, we have exercises 5, 6, I'm sorry, we just did 5. Exercise 6, 7, 8, and 9 from page 58 to 60. We're going to finish this lesson for homework, and we're going to preview the review lesson number 11, which is a review lesson. And inshallah, next week when we do this review lesson, we're going to also start doing some reviews that are going to be an examination. Okay, yani I'm going to give you some review sheets covering most of what we covered in the first 10 lessons. For the next few weeks, I'm going to be giving you one or two of these sheets to do for homework, and I want you to do them yani first without looking at the book. And starting next week, when we finish lesson 10, inshallah, I'm going to start sending to you the review sheets that are going to be homework assignments, but they're like an exam. So I want you to do them without looking in the book first. And then after you finish, yani you can look in the book to check your answers. And yani when we're going to go over them in the beginning of each class, so you can also check your answers in that way. But first, I want you to do it without looking to see how well you can do without looking, yeah, because it's supposed to be a test. Okay, after that, we're not going to yani record or register the grades, but you just for yourself to know where you need to do some review at, what areas you had difficulty with, you need to review those areas. Okay, so each of these review sheets are going to be dealing with yani grammatical points that we covered in the past, in the first 10 lessons. Okay, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.